Landing the Chef Envoy beside the exposed dreadnought was a straightforward enough operation, though there had been some concern that the loose rock wouldn't adequately support its weight, especially given the possibility that a structurally damaged vessel might be buried beneath it. Fortunately, everything seemed solid enough. Setting up the connecting tunnel was handled with equal efficiency. At that point, they ran into an unexpected problem. The docking bay hatchway Drask had selected, which had looked completely functional, turned out to be warped just enough to be impossible to open, and the Chiss ended up having to use cutting torches to carve out an access. It was a slow process. More than once as he watched them work, Luke considered going to Formby and offering to do the job with his lightsaber instead. It would be easier and cleaner and a lot faster. But each time, he suppressed the impulse. And so the company waited as the crewers finished the job. Once they'd broken through the hatchway, there was another short delay as the ship's medic tested the atmosphere, confirming that none of the microorganisms, trace gases, or suspended particulates present would be dangerous to Chiss or human. With all the delays, it was actually closer to 3 hours before the party was finally ready to go. A strange-looking party they were too, Luke reflected, as they lined up on the Chiss side of the transfer tunnel. Drask and Formby were dressed in the same stately outfits they'd worn at the first night's reception dinner, while Fisa and a black-uniformed Chiss warrior carrying an elaborate banner on a pole wore much simpler and more functional clothing. Fel was back in his dress uniform, and Luke would swear that the 4 stormtroopers had put extra effort into making sure their armor was gleaming. Jinsler had discarded his earlier layered robe tunic in favor of something simpler and less constrictive, and Luke found himself wondering if the older man was expecting dirt and close quarters aboard the dreadnought, or whether he was just tiring of his ambassadorial play-acting. Each of the 4 Jeroons who would be attending wore one of the blue and gold-collared wolf-kill bodies over the shoulders of his thick brown robe, making an odd contrast to Estausch and the bandages he was wearing on his shoulder. The young Jeroon had argued at length with Bersh in their melodic language about going along, and was clearly still not happy that he was merely there to see the others off. He stood off to one side, nursing his shoulder and looking even more lost and pathetic than usual. Luke was back in his dark jumpsuit and duster, but Mara had passed up her formal gown in favor of a jumpsuit similar to Luke's that she could move more freely in if necessary. They emerged from the tunnel into an entryway and storage area that was probably half again the size of even the extravagant equivalents aboard the Chaff Envoy. A few boxes were still stacked along the bulkheads, their markings somewhat faded with age, but most of the room was empty. Everything seemed to be coated with a thin layer of dust. "Amazingly clean," Jinsler commented, looking around as the group gathered in the center of the room. "Must be some housekeeping droids still functioning," Fel said. "Or at least there were. Repair droids, too. See where they've patched the cracks in the hull?"
"These machines can still function after all these years?"
Bersh asked in wonderment.
"With no one to supervise or repair them?"
"Everything aboard outbound flight was well automated," Fel said. "The dreadnoughts were warships, the biggest the Old Republic had before the Clone Wars, with weaponry and equipment." Formby cleared his throat. Fel took the hint and subsided. "On behalf of the 9 ruling families of the Chiss Ascendancy, I welcome you all to this solemn and sorrowful occasion," the Aristocra began. "We stand today on the deck of an ancient vessel that lies here as a symbol of human courage and Chiss failing." Luke let his eyes drift around the group as Formby continued his speech. Off to the side, he noticed, Bersh was murmuring into a bulky comlink in the melodic Jeroon language, probably giving Estausch a running commentary on the ceremony, he decided, and found himself wondering why the young Jeroon had been left aboard the Chaff Envoy in the first place. And then, without warning, something touched Luke's mind, the last sensation he would ever have expected. He twisted his head to look at Mara. One glance at her widened eyes was all he needed to show she'd caught it too.
"Luke," she whispered tightly.
"What is it?"
Formby demanded, cutting off his speech in mid-sentence.
"What's happened?"
Luke took a deep breath. "It's outbound flight," he said, stretching out harder to the force. "No mistake. They were there. Mines. Human mines, not Chiss. Somewhere deep beneath them. A lot of them.
We're not alone, Aristocra Formby. There are survivors aboard.